The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Whatever you're taking us in. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my voice? What's going on?
I don't know.
We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. That is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Circa. Downtown Las Vegas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
What are you passionately pounding on your keyboard today? What are you doing over there?
Just Googling which came first, the Michelin Man or Ghostbusters, and it was the Michelin Man.
I was correct.
You were correct.
Michelin Man predated Ghostbusters.
Someone ripped off someone.
You think it was a copy?
A little bit.
Do you know that Ray Parker Jr. was sued for the song Ghostbusters by Huey Lewis in the news? For copying I Want a New Drug?
You know what? I think I did know that.
So you're just saying the whole thing is one big copy now.
Might be.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done our work. We're done. Coming up on the show, JVT, our NBA senior analyst, talk NBA with us and National Football League divisional round, of course. And then how about a double shot of college hoops with Dallin Cuff from ESPN? He also has some soccer thoughts as well, perhaps. And, of course, from three-man weave, James Patrick Root. Jim Rue will join us as well from 3MW. Anybody call him 3MW? That's what it is on Twitter. 3MW underscore CBB. He's at Second Chance Points, Jim Root. We'll do that. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Kelly with some American Express thoughts in golf and bets as well. And we will do a couple NFL things that we've been meaning to get to today. Super Bowl MVP. We want to talk about that as a great proxy market to bet in futures right now, rather than just go to your standard garden variety restaurant quality, who's going to win the Super Bowl. Maybe there's a creative way to bet this via the Super Bowl MVP market. And when I say maybe, I say perhaps so.
I found one.
You found one?
I found one I might make early here.
It's interesting because, well, we'll get to it when we get to it, but it's stacked with a couple teams players and then not so much the others. So that's part of the calculus as well. I want to start, though, speaking of the NFL, let's begin with looking ahead to potential or hypothetical championship game lines. And I think in that process, we might learn something about this week's lines and maybe triggers a bet for some folks. Yes?
No? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Love that FanDuel put these up.
Yeah. Good on FanDuel. We used to have to call it Advocate Skirmish back in the day. We no longer can. We are the clothes are off. I think that's the correct expression.
That's right.
In golf FanDuel now. Okay, so can we start? Let me start with the bottom combinations with the AFC because I think these are more straightforward, right? Ravens and Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 1.5. Again, these are hypothetical championship game matchups that could occur. All four different combinations that could occur per conference. Ravens at Chiefs right now is lined at Chiefs minus 1.5 with a total at 46.5. Okay. By the way, Chiefs also a 1.5-point favorite against the Bills at home if they are to host the Buffalo Bills. My only reaction to that is I think that will change largely, perhaps not so much on the Ravens-Bills, though, of course, that's a possibility, but I think really the Chiefs side of things against the Texans. I think that could change. You know, that could get up to, you know, flirt with 3, maybe not all the way to 3. But I think it could go the Chiefs' way if the Chiefs just destroy the Texans. But if the Chiefs look sort of like they're lollygagging out there, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe it even goes the other way.
I was a little surprised. I was surprised by both of these Chiefs matchups numbers. I thought these would be closer to a pick 'em.
Well, I think the Ravens, that's what I'm getting at with the Ravens. Much like I guess the Ravens would be favored over the Bills. I think if the Chiefs don't look particularly great against the Texans, I think the Ravens also will end up being a slight tick of a favorite at the Chiefs, possibly as well, if the Ravens meet the Chiefs.
Oh, totally. I mean, I don't really know how you can hang 1.5 on both of those teams when we're seeing, what, Ravens 1 or a pick'em at Buffalo right now?
This is what I'm going to get at with the NFC momentarily. I think it's more dramatic in the NFC, but for right now, okay, those are placeholders, if you will, on the Chiefs. Both 1.5-point favorites against the Ravens and Bills. But to your point, right, it doesn't meet the, what was it you learned in geometry class? The transitive property from this week's lines to next week's line. Yeah, Kelly's like, sure. Kelly's like, I believe that was commutative property. Texans at Ravens is the placeholder is Ravens minus 9.5. If the Texans upset the Chiefs and end up having to go to Baltimore, remember, reseeding on everything here, Baltimore will get the championship game. -9.5 would be in favor of the Ravens, according to the placeholder at FanDuel. Bills would be 8.5-point favorites. 8.5-point favorites at home against the Texans. That's more in line with
that. That feels more accurate.
Okay. Where I think the really interesting things we can glean, if I may use the word glean, is in the NFC. So Eagles at Lions. Let's start with that one. Eagles at Lions. Let's say both of the favorites get home this week. The Eagles and Lions both advance. Lions against the Commodores, Eagles against the Rams. Lions are 2.5-point favorites with a total at 51.5. I'm surprised that's not 3. I'm surprised that's lower than 3. Here's where I start to be like, okay, this is corroborating how I feel about this week's games, which is if the Rams upset the Eagles and play the Lions, they only have the line as Lions -6.5, to which I say, this is my point about this week's line. I'm on the Rams taking the 6 against the Eagles. And this, to me, having the Lions as only 6.5-point favorites against the Rams, corroborates my feeling. Because how could this only be 6.5 if it's 6 at Philly? Now, people are going to say, well, Gus Gill, they're traveling to cold weather. It's a short week. They played on Monday night. They've got all that stuff going home with the wildfires. I get it. I get all that. But it's still, even with all that, to me, I think that's more. Listen, I'm not dismissing that stuff. That stuff matters. But I still feel like that line makes me feel better about my Rams play this week. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I do think I'm sitting over here because I think it is the, it's interesting indoor outdoor too with the Rams, right? Like I think that's a
cold weather, warm weather,
tougher environment for the Rams to play in this week as opposed to if they had to go to Detroit indoors next week.
Right. Do they still have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a great pass rush and a great wide receiver or two?
The two
would be Cooper Kupp.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly flipped, right?
Oh, he's amazing. Commanders at Eagles. This is interesting to me as well. If the Commanders, if I may say so myself, if they upset the Lions and the Eagles beat the Rams, the Eagles are installed. Remember, Kelly, you cannot make a bet without an installation of a line. Remember how they used to say it on shows? They've been installed as a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. Now, okay, the Eagles are 6.5 at home. You really think the Eagles would be 6.5 at home against the Commodores at that point? Let's go back to week 11. Week 11 when the Eagles hosted the taco holders in Philly, when they hosted the Commanders in week 11, the Eagles were 5 games into a 10-game winning streak, and Washington had just lost by a point to the Steelers. Remember, it was the one game where they didn't have a cardiac winning finish when Zach Ertz was a nose shy of the sticks heading into field goal range, not quite in field goal range, but heading into field goal range against the Steelers the week before with less than 90 seconds left when Washington was at home against Pittsburgh. So that was the recency. That was the scenario when the Commanders traveled to play Philly in week 11. You know what that line was?
What was it?
Philly -4.5. So you're telling me what you've seen of football between then and now means the Eagles should be even more of a favorite? See, I don't see that at all. I think if Washington
Eagles have gotten better.
Wait a minute, but if a Washington beats the Lions outright,
that's the part.
Is no chance this is 6.5. None.
I mean, that's the part that I'm on board with you on. Have we gotten to the point? I think the Eagles are playing better football. If you just set this game today, without what being played, games played this weekend,
I disagree with you. I think if you even set it today, it should not be 6.5. But I'd
probably go 6, I get it. But yeah, you're right. After the Commanders defeat the Lions in Detroit.
But even before that, what are people not getting about Jaden Daniels in Washington? No one has been able to stop this man. He is a rookie that has not been stopped. Maybe that game is coming this week. It's possible. But I just, admittedly, I am a little lower than the market on the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So throw that into the mix. But yes, we both agree that if the Commanders were to beat the Lions, forget about 6.5 here. And then Commanders at Rams is the only other combination we haven't talked about. Rams placeholder 2.5-point favorites at home against the Commanders. See, I would even say that would be 3 in the end. But 2.5 is right around where it should be.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty spot on. Because then you could also do the line comparison this week, right? Rams and Eagles, we're seeing 6 on that. Okay, so if they think they're a half point half point better than the Commanders, right? I think that makes sense if you're under three.
But I think the biggest, like, Commanders at Eagles 6.5, if they were to post that, right, which it is posted at, right?
Yeah,
right,
you can, yeah, you can bet.
If you think the Commanders are beating the Lions, you should absolutely grab those points right now. The other one, though, I'll go back to that to me is the biggest sort of truth teller is Rams at Lions -6.5 to me, and this is corroborated by the Lions line against the hypothetical line against the Eagles. The Rams should not be 6-point dogs against the Eagles this week is what I get out of that.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting exercise to look at that and then sort of say to yourself, well, wait a minute, if that's that, then how's this that? If that makes sense.
It really is. Yeah. No, in the NFC, I think it was a great breakdown from you on the NFC, because my big ones right away was the AFC champ, like the big AFC championship matchups, either Ravens, Bills, or Chiefs. And right away, the problem is I don't know that I feel strong enough. If I felt super strong about Ravens or the Bills winning this game this week, I would be betting that right now against the Chiefs next week.
Yeah, I mean, but for me, it is, I do feel strongly about the Ravens. That's why I had them as a 2.5-point favorite on guessing lines.
Right.
The Bills were the favorite at that time. It's moved towards the Ravens.
So if you had the opportunity,
and I feel the same thing right now. Yeah, you go heading into that game. Yes.
Yeah, but wouldn't you bet that right now if this was available to you?
Well, yeah, except for there's this little thing called Patrick Mahomes that I'm not sure you're aware of. That lingers. That looms.
That's why I said I'm not betting, but if you're that confident, Ravens.
That's the only thing in this league that stops you in your tracks, or at least should. Ravens, what is it, DVOA, one of the 10 best teams of all time, 7th best team of all time since 1979? Yeah, but then there's this guy who plays for the Chiefs still. We'll come back. Jonathan Von Tobel, his divisional round thoughts, and some NBA from our senior NBA analyst. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Look at that. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQ. Wait for it, Kelly. SAUCE.
Dude, good job, man.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Flavor this good. It's just a click away. By the way, the Sewell's Barbecue sponsorship came through the old Beating the Book feed. And whoever's running the Sewell's Barbecue account tweeted me yesterday this story about Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, who, of course, is going to be a coveted head coaching candidate in the National Football League. The story I had always heard about his I won't even call it flirtation, but when Washington was interested in hiring him last year, the job that Dan Quinn eventually got, the story that I was led to believe was the truth was that Ben Johnson was the one who balked and said, yeah, I remember there was a story. He thought Josh Harris was a little, and his, you know, Bob Myers from the Warriors. Is it Bob Myers from the Warriors? He thought they were a little too basketball-y for his taste. That was the story I heard.
Well, you got Magic involved too, right?
Well, and Magic involved, right, of course, bearing the headline. But what the Sewell's Barbecue Sauce folks tweeted me was a story from, I want to say it was Lane Lewis. He's a Commanders insider who said that his understanding of the story was that Adam Peters, the Skins GM, who's, by the way, done a fantastic job, and crew were on their way to go interview Ben Johnson, at which point they talked to him. They're like, you know, we're going to draft Jaden Daniels number 2 because the Bears are going to take Caleb 1. You know, how do you feel about that? He's like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to go with Sam Howell. And they were like, what do you mean we're going to draft Jaden Daniels? They're like, no, I want to do this with Sam Howell. Now, if that story is true, and Adam Peters apparently at this point, according to this report that Sewell's Barbecue sent me, said, turn the plane around. So whatever you believe there, that's a fascinating twist of that. I have never heard that story before.
If that's the case, then I know why Ben Johnson is still where he's at.
Well, that's right. And it also makes me think to myself, what's my biggest thing whenever I talk about, like, I know I said the other day, like a CEO head coach is underrated. But if you are an X's and O's head coach, to me, your biggest attribute that I'm looking for is your ability to adapt to your personnel.
Mm.
And that story, if true, sounds to me like Ben Johnson is like a one-trick pony guy, where he's like, well, mobile quarterback? I don't want that. Anyway, it's an interesting story. Thank you to Sewell's Barbecue folks for sending that one as well. JVT joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel. He is our senior NBA analyst and so much more as well, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm actually, because every time you guys talk about something, it gets me to think about things, including, are you allowed to just turn a plane around?
Or like, don't you have to like land
first? Yeah, like, or like,
hit the brakes.
Like, there's like air patterns and stuff that you might screw up if you just like flip a Yui in the middle of the air, you know?
John, I wouldn't try that on your next like American Airlines flight from 26B. Like, hey. Turn this around.
It is a good point. Like the counter to that, though, is I'd be really upset if I owned a private jet and we're flying one way and I want to turn around and then I got to wait like 30 minutes or something for all the communications to be cleared for me to actually turn around. I just want to turn around. It's a big sky.
It's a big sky. That's right.
Well, price of fuel as well. Like, I don't think you're just pulling up the Shell and getting like, it's $4.11 a gallon. Let's that just fill too. This thing back up and go back. Listen, yeah.
If you want air traffic advice, the three of us are your go-to guys. We know our stuff. What about the divisional round? Let's start there, John. What have you bet so far? What are you thinking about betting?
I've also always wanted to just say that. Turn this thing around. All right. For the National Football League, I bet a couple of things. First and foremost, so I was a Texans supporter over the weekend. I'm going to carry that over to this weekend here against Kansas City. I think this Texans team defensively is very undervalued. When you look at them coming into the postseason, fifth in EPA per pass by opponents, they go in there. Their defensive backs are like glue on Los Angeles's wide receivers. And look, that was a weakness for LA, and I think a lot of people really knew that going into the postseason, really exposed that. And I understand that Kansas City is getting healthier at wide receiver, but I really like what this team can do from a coverage standpoint. And then up front, if you're getting good coverage behind, those guys can get after, I think, what is a worse offensive line, at least when you're talking about multiple spots, including the tackles. We knew the issues with the interior for LA, but those tackles, like, they were supposed to be pretty good for LA, and they got pretty exposed by a really veteran front that can get after the passer. And I think that you're talking about a group that can do that again here against Kansas City, keep this thing close. And I will hang my hat offensively on one thing for Houston. You go back to that Chargers game, and throughout the entire year, right, C.J. Stroud, I mentioned this a ton of times, the fifth most pressured quarterback in the National Football League by total dropbacks. However, when he was kept clean against L.A., he was elite. He was awesome. So I think that if you can get more of those snaps, having him kept clean, quick throws, get it out, I think you're going to be pretty live to stay inside of this number against Kansas City. So took 8.5 with the Houston Texans. The other, Baltimore. Now, I haven't bet this yet for clarity. I want to sit back. I was talking with Johnny Avello. We had him on the show the other day, director at DraftKings. I just asked him whether or not this is going to kind of ping pong back and forth. So I'm going to see whether or not I can get a better money line price there on Baltimore. But I will be on Baltimore by the time this game kicks off on Sunday night. I like this team. They're the highest rated team in the NFL left for a reason. I think that they are going to find their way to the Super Bowl. I think they are elite on offense. I don't think there's really any question about it. I still think it's fair to question whether or not Baltimore, if they've gotten better defensively, Gil. You know, if you look at these last five games, you would see a team that statistically is among the best in the National Football League over these 5 weeks. However, you'd also see a slew of offensive opponents that are among the worst in the NFL. So I think there's some middle ground there, but I think they're so good on offense, they can really overcome that here. Tighter deficit, obviously, than the first time they played on that Sunday night, but I do think Baltimore ends up getting this thing done. So those are the two that I'm sitting on right now. Haven't made anything yet in Washington and Detroit or LA and Philadelphia. I've got thoughts on those two games, but those are the bets that I've made so far. And I should also note, did bet Lamar Jackson to win Super Bowl MVP at plus 550.
You did. Did you have a moment of Derrick Henry pause when you bet that?
You know, I did. So my logic is somebody who really likes Baltimore, is I will be sitting on, they should be favored over anybody that they play coming out of the NFC. You're probably going to be on, even money or so for Lamar to win Super Bowl MVP, should they get there. So I'll have a pretty good ticket in hand. But you're right. Mitch and I were talking about this on Monday. I think there's probably, and when we're talking about some of these teams, of these teams, the Baltimore Ravens, the Detroit Lions are the two for sure that you could look at and go, there's kind of multiple outs there for MVP. But I'll take my chances with Lamar Jackson, because in the midst of a year, which I think he is going to win MVP, this seems like a pretty strong run for a guy. You have the narrative of finally getting the monkey off your back, right? Winning the playoff game, maybe making it to the Super Bowl. Should I be right? And they make it there. So I think there is some pause there. And I do think they are one of the two teams that there is multiple outs. But at the very least, I think there's only one out, right? It's just Derrick Henry. I don't think there's anybody else that would take that.
Yeah, which is when we're going to talk about Super Bowl MVP later. But that was going to be sort of my suggestion. Maybe you just bet both of them. And then if you have that Baltimore conviction. By the way, if you guys had to estimate, there's no way to know, but I'm just talking about all media collectively. If Baltimore makes the Super Bowl, how many times the Lamar Jackson versus the NFC stat is going to be cited by people. He's like 23-1 lifetime or something against the NFC.
I mean that, and then also the failures in the playoffs. So I actually think the Lamar bet's pretty good because of that. The narrative of Lamar getting to the Super Bowl is just going to be so overwhelming. Like Henry would have to have massive games.
Real quick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as you guys know, like the bar is so high for if you're not a quarterback in the Super Bowl, right, to win MVP. You have to do so many different things to win that thing. Whereas if you're the starting quarterback of the winning team, as long as you're playing generally well, you should probably get the award, as we have seen multiple times. I'm a Colts fan, and I still clearly remember Dominic Rhodes dominating the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl and Peyton Manning winning a Super Bowl MVP despite throwing an interception and only one touchdown to a wide-open Reggie Wayne. So, yeah, I would very much – I agree with all of those points there.
Who was the back? Was it Damian Williams? Who was the back that gave it to Mahomes instead of the running back for the Chiefs?
Yep.
And then there was Aaron Donald, who probably should have won it, but they gave it to Cooper Kupp. Yeah.
How about the DB who picked off Russell Wilson to literally win the Super Bowl? Right? Yeah. Like there's so many different things you could point to. Be like, what are we doing
here? Yeah. Okay. By the way, last thing, because I asked this of Drew yesterday. So real quick before they get to the NBA. So Houston is your answer to the question, which of the big dogs is the most likely to pull off an outright upset? You would say Houston?
Yeah, I think I'd be fairly comfortable in that answer, just given what you can get from them defensively. I do think that I'm sure that if you've asked this people, I'm pretty sure Washington probably came up quite a bit, just given how bad this defense has been for the Detroit Lions, especially the last like few weeks. I don't think they fixed everything. And I think there's more evidence to that case because Sam Darnold was the exact same guy in the wild card round that he was in that Sunday night game. So I still think you have some trepidation as to what Detroit is going to be defensively, because if, for those who don't remember, the 4 weeks leading up to that Sunday night game, they were like the worst defense in the NFL. Like EPA, yards per play, you looked at everything. They were finally starting to see the defensive issues really catch up with them. So I do wonder if that defense is still lurking. We just got lucky and saw them face off to Sam Darnold, who completely and utterly regressed. And I'd also throw out really quick, because, again, I don't have the best read on this team. I felt kind of lucky that I got by a late 3.5 with Philly against Green Bay. You never really had to sweat it, but they didn't look overtly impressive. And I did lay it with Minnesota and obviously got that wrong against LA. But I will say this, I would not pick LA because, again, every number still points to that team being a subpar defensive group. And I wonder if you just took advantage of a bad offense, and now all of a sudden you're going to get to go to Philly where the offensive line's much better, the running game is much better, the defense is better, and then all of a sudden you're going to look and you're going to go like, oh, that looks like a wild card team that kind of barely got by through a bad division. And I have this sneaking suspicion, like I'm squarely on, I would rather lay it with Philly than take it with the Rams, and I'll probably end up on that side too. So to kind of roundabout answer that question, yes, it would be the Texans for me, the one that has the largest shot to get in.
We're 2-for-2 on the Texans being the answer to that question. Real quick before you go, 10 seconds, NBA play tonight?
I didn't have it, but I did lay Utah State -4.5 on the road against UNLV tonight. So Rebels are fading.
Fading his Rebels, his running Rebels. All right, John, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
JVT at me, JVT, our senior NBA analyst here on the network. Let's talk some college hoops with Dallin Cuff from ESPN next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for big game 59. El Partido Grande, 59. For those listening in Spanish, with a big deal to match, save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber, bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access. Plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal, I should say. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
To save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today, that's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ice Cold Gambler. Country Clubbing is back. Kelly needs to have an intro song for that. Maybe Ice Cube, We Be Clubbing. Oh, no, our intro song is way better than We Be Clubbing.
Hey, we need an intro song to the intro?
We Be Clubbing? Primetime, Cowboys _Cubs1. Yo, hey, man, can you lend me your time machine that allowed you to open today's show by telling us it's Monday morning? Yeah, I don't know what happened to me there. Could be useful in my handicapping of Monday, Tuesday cards. Primetime, thanks for noticing. Like, there's got to be one person who noticed it. Logic 3227, before the Rams played that game against the Vikings, I grabbed Stafford, Nacua, and even put a little on Jared Verse for Super Bowl MVP. Good on you, Logic 3227, if they get there. And then Rick Collier, he wants to play that game, F. Mary Kill, Ray Parker Jr., Bob Seger, a multi-hit maker and all-around amazing musician, Lenny Kravitz. That's for our Veasan plus show that we're going to be doing. And finally, Brian Schaefer scolds me. He says, you were way too low on the Eagles, Gil. When they were full staffed versus the Commanders, they dominated them at home and still should have beat them with Kenny Pickett-led team. Drop pass by Smith, and they beat your so-called top-ranked Ravens at Baltimore. Come on! He's not very happy with me. Brian Schaefer lets his opinion know.
Wow. Why are you pissing off Philly today, Gil?
Oh, I lied. One more. Nevada Azer. I think if we could look into Goodell's brain, a Mahomes-Daniels matchup would be preferred. I don't know if that suggests that he thinks things are puppeteered. But that's what he said.
We got Ravens-Bills. Does anything else matter?
No. Nope.
To me, nothing else matters. We got Ravens-Bills this weekend. I don't really care what the rest of the matchups
play. Unless you grew up as a Washington Commanders fan, if you know what I mean. Let's talk some college hoops. This gentleman is kind enough to join us. Not only college hoops, maybe get some soccer thoughts from him. He is ESPN's Dallin Cuff, everybody. You might see him hosting Daily Wager from time to time as well, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning, Dallin. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. I did not realize Bob Seger would be discussed. I thought we'd be clubbing with like 3-6 Mafia. I didn't think that was Cube, but anyway.
Oh, it was
an interesting start. I like it.
It was Cube circa 1995 or 96, I'm going to say. Yeah. Ice Cube.
Okay. Sure. Right. There you go. Dallin, next time you're in Vegas, we're going to take you down to the D and we're going to listen to a lot of Bob Seger.
Yeah, okay? Well, a lot of Bob Seger. Okay?
Yeah. I'm down, boys.
Hey, before we talk college basketball, you're a soccer guy. You love the Premier League. It's the de facto kind of mid-season point. Obviously, it's not precise in the Premier League. Do you have any sort of futures thought as we head to the second half?
It's funny, right before we came on, you said what happened that made the market move. And because Liverpool drew Forest, Liverpool became less of a monstrous favorite. But I wasn't even tapped into that. I feel like it's almost a fait accompli that they're going to win this thing, which is a dagger as an Arsenal fan. I really thought this was our year. I mean, I feel like a Cubs fan saying that, but our old Cubs fan, I guess. But I thought this was could be Arsenal's year, but this is it really isn't. And now Gabriel Jesus may have torn his ACL, so that got a little tighter at the top. But I think Liverpool's winning this thing. The place I think there's, and the relegation spots are almost the three teams that came up look like they're yo-yoing right back down. And I'd be surprised if that didn't happen. There's one value I think you could find in the futures market is in the top four race with Newcastle, because Newcastle is slightly above plus money in most books. I think you see plus 120 to plus 130 to get in the top four. And what's interesting about this is Man City is still a massive favorite to stay in the top four. Now, we've all seen their struggles. Guys, for people that aren't soccer fans, their struggles and their inability to even contend for a title is probably the most shocking sports story in my mind in the last 5 years. It just, you never would have predicted that they would not be able to compete. To win it is one thing. They aren't even in the mix. So people are still, the books still believe that they will get themselves in the top four. I'm not sure that's the case. They still have a lot of injury issues. And they still may lose points based on these the legal issues they have with financial fair play.
Right.
They may be docked points. So they may not be in the mix. So I think Newcastle can beat out Chelsea potentially. And they may be beat out City as well, either on the pitch or in the courtroom, if you will. So that would be my one look in terms of the futures bet in the Premier League.
I like it. I'm glad I asked. It also, what you said there sort of resonates with me. It shows how sort of geocentric we are with our American sports, that you call that the Man City thing one of the five biggest, or excuse me, one, maybe the biggest story in the last 5 years in sports. Is that what you said?
Most shocking.
Most shocking.
They've won the league four times in a row. They've won the Champions League. They've won everything, and they continue to do it. They look like a machine. And they started the year like that, and then they went almost 8 weeks without winning a match. Like that, it wasn't just that they aren't in the mix; it's how fast the fall, how fast they collapse, and the fact that they're really not going to compete with Liverpool at all is mind-boggling. I really don't have a sports comp in our world, because how our sports are based and how we work things. You get in the playoffs, you got a shot. That's not how it is here. If you collapse in October, that can crush your entire season. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah. Talking to Dallin Cuff from ESPN. By the way, you can follow him on X at Dallin Cuff, cleverly, DallenCuff. College hoops, before we get to your two plays tonight. Last night, I'll give you three outcomes. You tell me what moved the needle for you the most. Number five, Florida, 10.5-point favorite, gets clipped at home by Mizzou, 83-82, snaps their 16-game home winning streak there at Florida. Auburn, number one, Auburn, despite not having Johnny Broome for the first time, they still crush Mississippi State by 22 as a 7.5-point favorite. Or third option, number four, Alabama, 12.5-point favorite. They get beat outright by 10 by Ole Miss at home. Which of those three was the one that sort of makes the biggest impact for you or is noteworthy?
Well, I would say that the Auburn one was not as huge a surprise. I was on with Mitch and Pauly yesterday before that game tipped off. And given how they played at the end of the South Carolina game, I like Mississippi State more, but I thought, you know, they could cover, but I thought Mississippi State would keep it close. They did not. The Plains is a tough place to play. They just solidify that they are an elite team that was up for the challenge without their best player. With Florida and Alabama, I was on the wrong side of both those guys. And what we learned here, what we were learning about the SEC, and I think those two teams, it was a hard lesson last night, is we always say there is no nights off. Well, those guys felt it because they didn't play. I mean, Alabama turned the ball over just ad nauseum. At one point in the second half, they were at a turnover rate of 34%. They looked not locked in, not connected, assuming they were going to beat a team in Ole Miss who was in the top 25 that I thought they could handle, wouldn't be able to slow down the game, but they gave them the ball over and over again. Florida, it was the same thing. They didn't show the intensity defensively, and Missouri came and smoked them. And then the Missouri dominated that game, up 20 in the first half, got any shot they wanted, really was contending everything Florida wanted to do on the interior or the exterior. It was, I think, a really good wake-up call for these teams in January. And for Nate Oates and Todd Golden, it's really easy to turn the film on and be like, guys, we aren't playing in the ACC. We're not going to be Duke where we can just coast through probably 7 or 8 or 9 of our games in league play. That's not happening in the SEC. Even at home, you've got to bring it every night. And they didn't bring it. They thought they were going to roll, and they learned a hard lesson. Does that impact what I think they can do long-term? Absolutely not. I think Florida can win the whole thing. I think Alabama can win the whole thing. I think you just learned a lesson right now in the middle of January.
Yeah, I think that's good to point out the long-term, though. It doesn't really hamper what you think about both teams long-term for this season when we come down to March Madness. All right, the center of the college basketball universe is in Ames, Iowa tonight. Iowa State, a 6.5-point favorite against Kansas. What you got here, Dallin?
I'm laying the line. I love this Iowa State team. I think they can win the whole thing. They've got outstanding guard play. We always start with their defense, yes, because their defense is elite, but they have really good guards in Lipsy and Gilbert, and Jones off the bench is an absolute spark plug. You've got bigs that are physical that can make some plays for you, get rebounds, and of course they are defensively, they're an elite team. And this is also a little bit of bet against Kansas and Kansas on the road. I mean, we saw that when they did at UCF. This ain't UCF, guys. They're not putting up 98. This is a team that has some offensive struggles. It may look more like the Cincinnati game where they scored 54, but they defended well enough and a really struggling Bearcats team to win that game going away. I think Iowa State in their building controls the game. What they're going to have to do, though, the one key piece here is they got to rebound the ball on the defensive side of things. With Badunga and Dickinson, you know, Bill Self's gone back to a little bit of his older, you know, years now with some big – he's gone big. And he's playing those two together a lot in a 4-5 and maybe looking a little more high-low action. Those guards got to give Dickinson the ball. He's got to want it in the post, but he got to give him the ball too. But he constantly is out by the perimeter. And if he falls into that trap, I think they can get smoked. If he's getting his touches down low and they're getting offensive rebounds, they can hang in this thing. But I still think Iowa State, over the course of 40 minutes in Hilton, is just a superior team. And I think they're going to be able to control this game, control those guards on the defensive side of the ball too, and just win this game. I think they are – by far and away, I think, a better team right now, and that's what I'm betting on.
And you think they're a legitimate national championship contender as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do think, again, because they are Iowa State, they're not getting talked about very much, and because it's still football season, there's not a lot of talk. I get that. But as people turn the page to February, they'll be like, Iowa State, they're number three, they're number two. They may even, at some point, be number one in the nation. Who knows? I think that'll surprise people. But when you look at the team itself and watch them play, this is not like was offensively challenged at time, but defensively elite. They are defensively elite, and they've now all those guys are back from last year. They brought back a ton. They added a little bit in terms of transfer portal. That team was good.
Dallin, 5 seconds. Give me a play on a random college hoops game besides that one.
Give me Dayton, first half, -4 against George Mason. The Flyers have lost 2 straight. They're reeling a little bit. They're going to come home, and they're going to blast George Mason the first half, who really struggles to score on the road in the first 20 minutes.
Dallin Cuff from ESPN. Thank you, Dallin.
All right, boys. Be well.
NFL Power Rankings next right here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the kind of player who wants to drop 10 large? That's $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market. Maybe you're looking for instant acceptance on your in-game bets. You need Sport Trade, the app that's revolutionizing sports betting forever. With minus 104 lines instead of the standard minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a dedicated concierge player service, Sporttrade delivers a premium betting experience like no other. They are live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download Sporttrade today. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game, Kelly. Have I mentioned that before?
Mm-hmm.
New York Mets 16. Gil going Snoop Dogg with it's like this and like that and like this, Senna, when he says, if that is that, then how is this that? It's true. Got a little Snoop there.
I can relate better to that.
That was the first segment where we were looking at the lines for the championship.
The transitive rounds. Property.
I did say that. If that is that, then how is this that? I've never been more articulate. A Joe named Jim trying to wrap my mind around Sewell's barbecue, knowing a commander's scoop that you don't, Gil. What's next? The timeshare exit guy providing Grand Slam tennis picks? Oh, we got to talk tennis here in a moment. Thank you for reminding me.
I was waiting somehow for... I was confused personally. I thought Sewell's was going to come back into the story somehow. I was like, wow, this is a great story.
Just
like,
the barbecue guy just knew all this stuff.
It was like, Ben Johnson, the commanders are meeting.
He sent me a whole video.
And then like they just grabbed some barbecue? Oh, no, that's not what
we put our sponsors to work. Sporttrade's got to come up with some inside scoop next. Paul Bovey, tell JVT his Justin Herbert bobblehead is on the way. Guess they had a little maybe mano a mano between the Chargers and the Texans. A. Brown, today on ANG, Gil and Kelly on the comms at McCarran Control Tower directing air traffic, and more sponsor promos from renowned barbecue sauce purveyor / NFL insider. Stay tuned for NBA exclusives courtesy of Hellman's Mayonnaise. You're on to us. Snarky fan, I had a mayonnaise account tell me that Ben Johnson wanted to call the Commanders the taco holders. People really like that Sewell story, huh? Dell, mind the gap radio. Watched TGL last night. Found it comical. What are yours and Kelly's impressions? What's next? AI horse racing?
Oh, probably. When joke, that's actually not a bad idea. The TGL is awesome. I meant to text you last night, too.
Tell like, everybody
turn ESPN on immediately. It's tomorrow's golf league, so mm-hmm. It's very hard to explain. We need the whole video. It's an arena they built in Palm Beach Gardens, okay, for golf. Basically, it's arena golf for them to just be made for television, okay? So they use a bunch of the simulator screens that you hit your drives and approach shots into, and then they have a green set complex set up that has, like, I don't even know, mechanical engines underneath it that shift the green for every hole that you play on. It's crazy. It's fun. I'm having a blast with it so far. The only thing that would have been cool is if it hadn't been two blowouts to start the season. Because it's really been over after like 45 minutes. Although, I think Jason Weingarten wants to talk about this coming up.
Oh, he does.
I think he was watching too, because he caught something I caught.
Jason under a cloud of smoke watching that? Are you kidding me?
Tiger Woods hit a shot last night. And this is, again, it's into one of these simulator screens, right? He hit a shot last night that went over the green and into the water.
Wait a minute. Tiger's involved in this?
This is Tiger and Rory's league. Oh, and it's in Palm Beach Gardens. Every celebrity's involved.
You buried the headline. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Every celebrity in the world's involved. Serena Williams owns the LA club, even though she lives in Palm Beach Gardens. That's mm-hmm. right there. She was in attendance last night. Everybody and their mother's there.
Wow.
So it's great. But anyway, so Tiger hits this drive. It goes over the green and into the water. And they're all mic'd up. The whole purpose of this is these guys are all mic'd up, right? And he's like, I can't hit a ball that far. So I was waiting for this the first instance of questioning the technology and if this is accurate or not.
Are there betting lines on this?
Oh yeah, there is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How widespread?
I think they'll pick up, but you've got to shop around.
Okay.
Like they weren't up at DraftKings
that's
yesterday.
All I want to know. Can we bet on this?
So and Gil, what I'm obsessed with from that angle, because I think there'll be an edge or two that we see. Like we saw Ludwig last week. Like, he was the champ. He was amazing at this. He looked like unstoppable. And you think about it, well, these younger guys have been playing into these simulators way more than some of the older guys. And you saw Kevin Kisner last night look like he hadn't picked up a golf club in 2 years because he's been doing announcing. He hit a shot out of the bunker that went over the green. Mm-hmm. Everyone was dying laughing.
Matt M., seems to me that Dallin Cuff got Tear the Club Up from 3-6 Mafia mixed up with We Be Clubbin' from Ice Cube, both 90s club bangers.
Get it together, Dallin.
Come on, Dallin. You gotta bring it on this show. John Fitzgibbons, a reminder that baseball's coming along with a base winner who always keeps his mind on his money and his money on his mind. Yes, he do. Yes,
that is right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go country clubbing for a little tennis talk right here on A Numbers Game. Oh, yeah.
So good.
I love those people. It's so great. Oh, yeah. Hold on. My shoulder's starting to move.
I like the guys that are in the background of the, not the group of the old people cheersing, but then there's like the couple other people that are just in the background
cheersing.
It's like, hey, would you like to be in a B-roll commercial? But you're not even going to be the focus of the B-roll. You're going to be the guy who's like in the background of it.
We were 8-3 at the Aussie Open heading into last night, 8-3 over 7 units, and then had 2 plays last night. Again, all of these available at VSiN.com/picks. For subscribers, my picks are there for tennis, as are those from Zach Cohen. I had 2 plays last night. Both were on the men's side. Both were dogs. We split them for a very modest profit. Had Jakub Mensik over Casper Ruud. That came home as a small dog, plus 114. That is now the 4th correct upset called by me in this tournament against former top 5 players.
Nice.
So that got home. But we end up losing on a north of $2 dog on Kei Nishikori, who won the first set against Tommy Paul and then just got absolutely rolled the rest of the way. I woke up to that. So we split, but it's 2 dogs, and that's a small profit. The big news for us yesterday is that we lost a couple of the futures.
Yeah.
Karolina Muhova, 30-1 to win it all, and then Q2 at 6-1. I was really counting on those. But Naomi Osaka yesterday, which Drew called, by the way. Naomi Osaka dropped the first set to Muhova and then found vintage Osaka form. Let me just say this. You ready for this comment? I love my buddy Tommy says this all the time. You ready for this comment? When he wants to prep you for something awesome?
I hate that. Can I ask you a question?
You ready for this comment? If Naomi Osaka plays like how she played in sets 2 and 3 last night, there is not a player in the world who's going to beat her on hard courts. Now, the question becomes, can she sustain that? Because her next match is Belinda Bencic. She could get bounced there, too. But, man, for 2 sets last night, she was spectacular. So that was the big news beyond us getting a small profit on the matches. We did lose those 2 futures. By the way, Mira Andreeva just squeaked by in her match. So anyway, tennis plays again. I don't have them on the show because the matches are in Australia. And based on my schedule and that schedule, I will handicap tonight's right after the show, and then I'll put them out, VSiN.com/picks for VSiN subscribers. Want to do some NFL power rankings?
Yeah, let's do it.
NFL power rankings. Man, we got 2 intros.
That's
Plug it in. Live 105, San Francisco. Okay. These are now, we just do our power rankings for the remaining 8 teams, and I will tell you that mine for the last 14 heading into the wild card round, not much change because my power rankings were so pristine.
I was kind of thinking about this last night when I was putting mine together. I'm like, if Gil and I didn't lose any bets last week, these probably aren't changing much.
We are feeling pretty good about ourselves and our power rankings. 1, Ravens remain number 1. Chiefs remain number 2. They obviously were idle. The Bills remain number 3 after their blowout of the Broncos. The Lions, who were idle, remain number 4. Eagles are 5. They remain number 5. Rams are 6. They remain number 6. Those were my top 6 heading into last week as well. The only change is the Vikings are now out. The Commanders move up to 7, and the Texans move up to number 8 because of the Vikings' absence.
Pretty sure I had Vikings above Rams last week.
Not me, kid.
So, yeah, that's the...
Start calling you kid.
That's the one where that would have dropped. So, okay, so mine, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens... Like we've had Lions, Eagles. Bottom 3 are tough at this point. I don't know if I expect any of them to be around after this week, but it does go Rams, Commanders, Texans. I had a hard time with that, though, because I was higher on the Texans early in the season, and I do think there's a bit of a resurgence right now with this team, but not as much as Drew and JVT think. I can't get on board with that
yet. I can't get on board with that because I still go back to my Chargers thing, which was not really the market conventional wisdom, which is they didn't beat anybody.
Mm.
The only team they beat was the Broncos. That brought the strength of victory up to 348. Right. They don't beat the Broncos twice. I mean, think how low that was going to be.
I just think that
by the transitive property, once again, I just don't think the Texans, that performance, I know they blew them out in the end, but if C.J. Stroud doesn't hit that third and 16 over the middle to Xavier Hutchinson on the snap that went past him, maybe that game turns out differently too and the Texans lose. We just don't know with football. So the Texans to me are a square eight for sure.
Yeah, I think Chris Jones could live in that backfield.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but Patrick Mahomes is still playing for the Chiefs. Yeah, a lot of Texans love on this show this week from our guests. It's interesting.